Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We appreciate that you're doing so. Welcome into our Richmond audience now, AM 910, FM 105.1, capital of the Commonwealth. Appreciate you guys being part of the show. To the rest of you in and around the D.C. area on 106.7, our flagship, using the Odyssey app, which you can take with you. Odyssey, your new home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to The Fan. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline to welcome in our buddy Joe Beninati. Caps now know they're playing the Bruins in the first round. BetQL, bet smarter, beat the books. Download the app today. Visit BetQL.com. Joe B, I hope you've got the pipes warmed up. You got one more regular season game tonight, and then it's on to the postseason, my friend.
Yeah, pretty much the equivalent of a scrimmage tonight, especially the way the Boston Bruins are taking their approach to this evening's action. I want to say they're scratching 11 regulars. I don't know how they can do that flexibility-wise with the salary cap, but that's above my pay grade, no pun intended. But they are bringing an American Hockey League team to D.C. And at the same point in time, Coach Laviolette, we just heard in your lead-in, is trying to get a number of his regulars some reps. I don't expect Washington to be resting that many players tonight. We'll see when we get to the arena and they're out there for the warm-ups. But it's just about the best time of the year. And when you look across the entire NHL, guys, the first two rounds of the playoffs, I think, are going to be extraordinary, especially all the 2-3 matchups when they finally wrinkle down. The 2-3 matchups are going to be great, and that's where Washington finds itself.
Joe B., do you have all of your suits for the entire postseason ready, picked out in sequence? How do you do it? You go series at a time, night at a time? Give me a breakdown there.
Danny, you're the best. I haven't done it yet. It's not far off, though. Where are we? We're Tuesday today. Game one, I have a feeling, unfortunately, is going to go to the national rights holders at NBC, so I don't think we're going to get our chance to work inside the game on game one. But that wardrobe will come together in the next couple of days, definitely. I'll send you pictures.
That's what I want. All right, let's break down this Bruins team, Joe B. They're good, they've been even better since the trade deadline. I associate them with a bunch of offensive weaponry and some skating and some skill, but they've been pretty stingy defensively as well. This is a pretty formidable round one task, huh?
Yeah, very much so, and I would hope in the next few days Washington continues to get healthy, which is what I was leading towards earlier with a discussion of getting some guys back tonight, maybe resting some guys additionally. The Caps' star players, top players, have been banged up in the last couple of weeks, while Boston is just about a completely total good health. It's amazing. They went through their adversity too. Both of these teams have had to battle through it. But right now, Boston looks as formidable as any team in this division, and they can do it from top to bottom, offensively, defensively. They are super deep in goal. They're going to play Swayman tonight. I'm guessing we'll see both Swayman and Vladar, but Swayman is a guy who's pushing Halak and Rask for playing time. It's going to be Tuukka Rask on Saturday, you'd imagine, but everywhere you point at Boston, you can point to depth and quality, talented depth. This is going to be a difficult assignment.
12-3-1, the Bruins since the trade deadline on April 12th, best in the league, and they're number one, 1.82 goals against average. Now, what I'm wondering about those 16 games, Joe B., How much of that is that they're great, and how much is they played the Devils and the Sabres a whole lot? I mean, part of that has to be competition.
That's part of it. I mean, that's definitely part of it, Grant. We handicapped the schedule. In fact, I think we did it on your show probably a month ago, and I told you Pittsburgh or Boston was likely to win the division. I wasn't off by much. I got one of them right, and Boston was right there with Washington as far as the 2-3 is concerned. And I said that largely because they were going to be playing a lot of the bottom feeders, and they did pretty well against them. 12-3-1, for me, what stands out is the addition of Taylor Hall, and I'm sure there will be a magnifying glass, a microscope on the trade deadline acquisitions for these two clubs. It'll be a compare and contrast. It'll be, what can you do for me, Anthony Mantha? What can you do for me, Taylor Hall? Both of those guys had impacts upon their teams upon arriving in their new cities. Hall has been the more consistent since the deadline, and he has clicked beautifully with a playmaker named David Krejci, who doesn't get nearly enough credit. Krejci is a wonderful setup man, and with the way Hall can skate and shoot, that's been a really nice match for Bruce Cassidy, the head coach in Boston. Now they have two lines that can really, really jump on you offensively. They're deep. They're good. You won't see that tonight. You're not seeing the Bruins that you're going to see on Saturday tonight. But when you see that team in game one on Saturday, it promises to be a wonderful matchup. Two excellent hockey teams.
The arrival at skate yesterday of Ovechkin, Carlson, Backstrom calmed my nerves considerably. I want to know what we should be taking out of that. I mean, does that mean those guys are good to go, do you think? And then also, we didn't see Oshie. Just speak to his importance to the team and where he might be in his recovery.
Grant, hugely important. TJ, with regard to the power play, first and foremost, that's what jumps out at me, the amazing amount of power play goals that he had this year. He's vitally important to that unit, and it's one of the best groups in all of the NHL. I'm worried about TJ. The injury the other night did not look good against Philadelphia. It looked to be something of significance. And I knew there would be no way he'd be playing in the finale. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping for game one. I do not know any inside information to tell you, but I think that would be – I'd be shocked if he's ready by that. But these guys do amazing things. These are incredible athletes. And but do I expect him – do I expect him for game one? No, but I don't know that for sure. The fact that Carlson is resting again tonight is interesting. I'm assuming he's going to be good to go by Saturday. Ovechkin we'll all learn together whether or not he's on the ice for warm-ups. I know Peter Laviolette wants to get his players their timing right, get them additional reps, play the right way, win the last game, get some momentum. I completely understand that, but he also said, not at the expense of someone who's not 100%. I can't imagine that Alex is 100. So I would be, if I were a betting man, I would say he wouldn't play. But knowing Ovechkin and the injuries, the ailments, the bumps, the bruises, the nagging things that he's played through in the past, I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to play. But I don't expect any of Washington's big guns to be playing anywhere near 20 minutes tonight. I expect this to be a complete roll the lines, 1-4, and please God, just get through it healthy for Boston, get on the plane and go home. For Washington, get set to welcome them back on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's the recipe. Joe Beninati with us here on Grant and Danny. Joe B. Cousy, what are we hearing? What do we know? What do we expect? I mean, it's been radio silence here for a while for a guy they're going to need if they're going to do anything, let alone to get to a cup or a conference championship, but to get through Boston, they need him. What's going on,
Danny? You're the funny man, so I'm going to tell you. Close your eyes.
All right.
What do you see? That's what I can tell you. Nothing.
Nothing.
I can't tell you anything.
I was like, I don't see anything, Joe. No, I get it. Yeah.
With regard to the COVID-19 guys, I can't tell you anything. I don't know anything. I don't know if they're ill. I don't know if they're experiencing symptoms. I don't know if this is contact tracing. There are multiple layers of protocols that are involved. The fact that we don't see them on the ice is extremely worrisome. And those two players are vitally important, you would imagine, this spring and early summer. They are required, and you need them to be playing extremely well. I don't know when you're going to get them. I don't know when you're going to see them. I cross my fingers and say, let's go, whoopee! Oh, it's Saturday, they're off the list. I don't know how that works. I have not heard from anybody. Are they on a 10-day protocol? Can they skate? Can they work out? Are they ill again? I don't know. I truly don't.
There's so much uncertainty about this roster going into the playoffs, which frankly is incredibly unsettling. But what you have to give this team, Joby, is that they have done a wonderful job playing amid all this adversity with guys all over the roster stepping up. And with that in mind, I'd be curious to give me a couple names of the guys that might have to elevate their game if they're going to kind of hold down the fort maybe in the first round until everyone's either back or back at 100%. Who might have to be the unsung heroes?
Yeah, big body of work, Grant. The coaches are saying that they really were happy with the way the team played its last 20, 25 games of the season. I'm not going to argue that. You can't. The only misstep, the recent misstep that jumps out at me is the failure to beat Philadelphia the first of the two games in the back-to-back, which ultimately could have cost you the division and a chance to play the Islanders in the first round. Now, remember, that Philadelphia game was coming off of all the hullabaloo that was coming out of New York after that two-game series at Madison Square Garden. Other than that, these guys, when faced with adversity, have done a phenomenal job, whether it be injuries or absences or suspensions. I hear you. They've rallied as a team. They've performed extremely well. It just tells you how good they are and how deep they can be if they're healthy. If, gigantic if, 36-point type, if. To me, the guys who would have to rise up are guys who've done it all season long, and especially in the last month. Sprong is the first one. Daniel comes to mind right away. He's scoring in a really, really nice clip. He's not ever going to make you forget about Alex Ovechkin, but he is providing goals on a timely basis and pretty much every other night. God bless him. Connor Sherry to get to 14 goals. I mean, that's super. In a shortened season, outstanding work. And wherever he seems, wherever Peter Laviolette seems to put Sherry, whatever trio, whatever line, that line seems to, quote, play the right way. Raffle is a guy who's come in and played hard along the boards. Has he produced points? No, other than a couple of assists in a Ranger game? No, but he's been doing things that are extremely helpful. He's played all three forward positions, so he gives you that versatility. If there are guys who are nicked who are not going to make it into a deep series as well as you might have hoped. I don't know how compromised they are. I think we're going to find that out on Saturday. We'll start to see it. I just don't know how compromised the best players on this team are due to injury right now. Are they just slightly nicked? Will three or four extra days and some light practices be the cure, be the elixir? Or are they going to be dealing with issues against a smoking hot Boston team? I don't know yet. We'll find that out soon.
Joe, how will the goalie situation play out?
Vitek.
That's it.
I mean, Craig Anderson did a wonderful job spot duty the other night. Craig Anderson, soon to turn 40, will be there if need be. He has a winning mindset. He has an incredible resume. All of his teammates are thrilled to play for him, should need be. But that's a guy who should be an emergency, you know, break glass just in case. It's supposed to be Vanacek and Samsonov, the way it's been this year. Earlier this year, it was everyday Vitek. To me right now, until I see Samsonov, it's everyday Vitek. And that man has definitely surpassed my expectations of him this year. His numbers are not extraordinary. The graphics, the metrics, all those things, the analytics, people are going to say, yeah, he's an average NHL goalie. He's performed better than that. And at critical times, he's performed better than that. And every coach and every player will tell you, as long as my goalie gives me a chance to win, we're good. If he submarines my effort, if a goalie has an off game, you're in big trouble. Just give me a chance. And Vitek's done that and done that extremely well.
Joe Beninati's on Twitter. Go give him a follow for quality Caps content and some behind-the-scenes access to the broadcast at Joe B XPBP. That's Joe B PXP for play-by-play. Real quick, I want to tell you that I loved what I got to see of. I'm sure there was more that I didn't get to see. Your conversation with Jose Andreas, the chef. He's Danny and I's favorite chef. We love Jose Andreas. And you had a hilarious zing. So Joby's talking to him. He shows him his ring. And Joby says, don't drop it in a pot of soup. Which I don't know why. That popped me so hard, Joby.
That's a good line.
But I think you may have posted a video.
That's good.
Again, it's Joby PBP. I loved that interview. He's the best.
You guys know him. That was my first experience meeting him. I could not believe the enthusiasm, the energy. It's obvious why he's a star in his business, and I'm sure he's tremendously skilled in the kitchen, but he has this genuine quality to try and go out and help the world and help our community and be a vital part of it. I was blown away by it. We talked for a good 20 minutes. I'd say, you know, 10 to 12 minutes were on the record. The other eight off of it could have easily done another three or four segments. Just a great guy. I look really forward to visiting him in the Penn Quarter restaurants that he and his partners own.
Joby, you're the best, buddy. Call some wins, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Anytime.
We'll see you, pal.
Joe Beninati, I'm looking for some goal calls starting tonight and throughout the playoffs. That emphatic Joe B call that we all have gotten to know and love. I am nervous about this draw. I will be very frank with you, Danny. Twofold. I'd be nervous about any draw. Islanders, Bruins, doesn't matter. The Caps are not healthy.
Yeah, an NHL hockey team I'd be nervous about right now.
Correct.
Right?
I don't like having to play a series when potentially, we don't know, is Alex Ovechkin going to be 100%? He came back. Everything was supposed to be fine. He took a shift and was off the ice again. Backstrom has not been playing. Was it skate? Carlson has not been playing. Hopefully those two guys, I feel a little bit better about where they're going to be. I think Backstrom maybe, it sounds like, was more of a maintenance day. So, okay, I've got some hope. I've got some feel for possibly those two guys being themselves. TJ Oshie is the glue that holds this entire thing together. You just heard Joe Beninati talking about it. Take his words over mine. TJ Oshie is a complete player. He is aces on the power play. He is big
leads
on
the team at power play goals.
The penalty kill. He is critical at even strength. He's been taking shifts at center when they've been undermanned at that position. He's the one taking the draws in the O-zone at the dot on the PP. I mean, he is so important to everything that they do. Not to mention, we talked about Russell Westbrook's style and energy and the effort he plays with and how it's infectious and kind of takes over the locker room. That's TJ Oshie on this team. He's a heart and soul guy. If he's unavailable at the beginning of this series, that's petrifying.
Yeah.
Remember the Carolina series? Everything was going great. Oshie got hurt. They got bounced a couple of games later.
Different series, right?
I worry about him.
Clearly. And again, the COVID guys. What's the deal? They need Evgeny Kuznetsov to be the engaged, with it, complete player that he is. I mean, he's not defensively, didn't have the same acumen that Oshie does. Not as much two-way, but posing that threat, right? Making it so, okay, fine, you want to load up on Ovechkin's line? You got to deal with that second line now that's going to be just as lethal at times, if not more so, with the most skilled guy on the ice every time that he's out there. I'm worried about that. You look at some of the D pairings being in flux with Carlson finally just coming back. But you're 100% right about Oshie. I think that's the most essential one for me. I think you can get away with some of those other guys not being around for a series. I don't know that you can win against Boston, who is terrific right now and healthy, without Oshie.
So that's the other part of this, is how good the Bruins have been. Now, I'm going to dismiss some of their dominance based on just the fact that they've been playing bad teams a lot. Caps, at one point in the season, were playing terrible teams and just running
through
them.
Doing the same thing, yeah.
Stringing together, it seemed like 11 wins in 12 games. Oh, that same kind of run. When you're really good, and Boston is and Washington is, you should beat New Jersey. You should pummel Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And they did that. But they've also, a couple of times this year, waxed the Capitals, too.
Yeah.
Now, the Caps have for many years had their number, and they've had a couple of games this season where they ran them out of the gym as well. But point being, this is now the playoffs. You're playing good teams night in, night out. You've got to play really good hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're ready as of this moment to do that. By Saturday, could they be ready? Fingers crossed. But hopefully they can hit the ground sprinting.
And what about the goalie spot? We've been sort of quietly raising our hands all season long going, this is cool right now. It's awesome that Vitek Vanacek is playing pretty decent here the first month of the season. Where's Samsonov? And now, again, here we are. It's a very unproven thing. Now, sometimes you get trial by fire and a rookie goaltender that the league's never heard of turns the world on its head and kicks everyone's ass, and it's great. He gets hot, and you win a couple series, and he becomes the darling, and you know everybody gets a Jim Craig poster or an Ole Kolzik poster or whatever, right? But man, oh man, I'm nervous about that part too, right? This is a pretty unproven commodity here with a veteran team. Everybody's old, right? And Charles 44, all these guys that are the core of the Capitals, been doing this for more than a decade. And we're going to try to kid out there in goal with no net. 40-year-old Craig Anderson's the net. He's my age as kind of your backup. That's a little bit nerve-wracking to me as well.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be one thing if just in a competition he stood on his head and you say, well, they don't have another choice. Vanacek was definitively better, but it's really just a Samsonov became unavailable. And it's not to say that V hasn't played well, because he has a fine season. But it's a sink or swim scenario where there's no safety net. You're right about that. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We were going to talk about Colt Brennan at the end of last hour, and we didn't get to. Hal Netto called in to discuss Russell Westbrook on the morning after Westbrook was able to make history in the NBA. So let's talk about Brennan next. if you guys haven't heard, sadly, there's a report that he passed away at 37 years old. He's had a terrible last few years, apparently, of his life, in and out of just all kinds of addiction issues and problems, from what I'm gathering and reading. It's very, very sad. But he was the talk of this town.
Yes.
For a summer. And I don't remember much as exciting in D.C. as far as football as Brennan Mania back in 08. So we can reminisce on that next on GND.
Third and six. Right into the end zone, right there. Into the arms of Maurice Mann for the touchdown.
I think he can sling it, though.
Yes, he can.
And Colt Brennan, again, that's a second, that's a perfect pass. I mean, he threw it right where only his guy was going to get it. Now, I'm not sure if this was a drop back or a rollout, but Jim Zorn was saying that Colt Brennan tends to move the pocket a little more than is called for.
Michaels and John Madden.
Wild, man.
Tells you a little bit about how far back we're going for the Colt Brennan preseason experience in Washington in 2008 and 2009. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So just tragic today, if you're just joining us. The story, like most things you see anymore, you originally see breaking on Twitter, but it was not, you know, just random people tweeting about this. This came out of folks who covered him in Hawaii, who still covered Hawaii football and who apparently had talked to the family. But it was Hawaii News Now that I saw first reporting that quarterback Colt Brennan, who played at Hawaii before coming to Washington in the sixth round in 2008, died at 37 years old
today,
which is just so sad and so tragic. We could talk about his preseason and the mania around it in a few minutes. But, Danny, when you hear this, he's his age between you and I. Like, you're older than him. I'm younger than him by a handful of years on each side. It just shouldn't happen.
No.
I mean, guys in their mid-30s who recently, several years ago in the case of Colt Brennan, were professional athletes, kind of the pillar of physical health. It just shouldn't happen. I haven't seen the details. Look, he has had a hell of a last several years, apparently. I was just doing, you know, a little bit of research, and today when I heard that, and I don't remember these things if they came up in the news, maybe I dismissed them at the time, but like he has two recent arrests for alcohol-related things, apparently at some point was in rehab. I guess it's just been a brutal stretch for him. Thoughts and prayers with his family, it's just awful to hear, but 37 years old, what a shame.
Yeah, there's no way to spin it other than that. It's just so unbelievably young. And it's one of those things where I remember all of it because it wasn't that long ago. I remember the sensation he was at Hawaii throwing damn near 60 touchdowns in a season, followed up with a 40-touchdown season almost the year after, getting drafted in the sixth round, that preseason mania that you touched on where his debut, I think he was 9 of 10 for 2 touchdowns and led all rookies in the preseason that year with, I think it was like 400-some yards, 3 different TDs, and moved around and just looked, it looked like it had that swagger and that energy and that sort of backyard playmaking kind of style, you know, just seemed like a regular dude, bro. Seemed like you plucked a dude away from like your buddy's pickup game, like in a Wrangler jeans commercial, and trotted him out into an NFL game when he was doing it. And it just, man, it's really, really hard to hear.
If you are at least probably 23 years old, you remember the 2008 preseason.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about these other manias in cities, and it's not to the extent of, like, Fernando Valenzuela or someone who took over baseball with the Dodgers. But if you're of a certain age in your young 20s and you grew up a D.C. sports fan, a fan of the then Redskins, the Washington football team, you remember that 08 preseason of Colt Brennan just lighting the town up. People loved this guy. So they played 5 games. I'm guessing they must have had the Hall of Fame game against the Colts maybe that year.
Sounds right.
But they started on August 3rd. He went 9 of 10 for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. And looking back, it's one of those preseason-y things. Second half of a game, you come in, you light it up. But for a guy that didn't end up having regular season opportunities in the league, you should light it up if you're an NFL starter in the second half of a preseason game. That was a job well done by him. That's a sixth-round pick learning an offense. Jim Zorn's a first-time play caller and head coach, and that was a huge deal. He ends up playing a couple more games against the Bills and the Jets where he got in very little. But then in that final preseason game, they played the Jaguars late August of 08. And he basically got, you know, quarter plus.
He got it all,
and
yeah.
It was the Colt Brennan show. And he went 13 of 18 for 120 yards. People just loved him. And a lot of people, I think, have stories about interacting with him. Like, he was around town. He was doing events. I know radio shows were hanging out with him on this station, I'm pretty sure. But people were, they were just in on Colt. He had the background from Hawaii, which was kind of neat. He was one of the most decorated college quarterbacks ever. Like, pull up his numbers at Hawaii.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
He was one of the best college quarterbacks who ever lived. He had Joe Burrow's season before Joe Burrow. Now, Burrow did it at LSU in the right. SEC and won a natty title.
06 in Hawaii. How about a 72.6% completion percentage? That's a little appetizer to get you moving. How about 5,549 yards? How about 50?
In like how many? Probably like 13, 14 games?
Yeah. How about 58 touchdowns? How about 58 touchdowns? And as a nice little seasoning on top, little sprinkle, how about 366 rushing yards and 5 rushing TDs also? Just to make sure that you knew that he could, scrambling around like that. I mean, that's a video game season, man.
I remember in 2008 when I first interviewed him at camp. It probably, honestly, was before he played in that first preseason game and became, like, the biggest star in D.C. in that August. But I remember being really excited. Like, how often are you pumped up to interview a sixth-round quarterback who may or may not make the roster? But part of the fun was, you saw him break all those records the year before. Hawaii was on TV. He had a really cool name. He got a lot of national attention. And I remember thinking it was awesome that Washington drafted him. And you know this, even to this day, when you draft a quarterback in the sixth round because of Tom Brady, and we were only 10 years removed or whatever.
Everybody does point, the thing, yeah.
Maybe he's the sixth round sensation. Right. So you have that. Then he became best friends on that team and was still, I think, even in the last few years, pretty close with Chris Cooley, who was a rock star in town at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Cooley in 08, 09, what table does he want a restaurant at tonight? Like, he does whatever he wants. And Colt and him were boys. They went everywhere Cooley went, Colt went. Those dudes were, you know, best pals. So if you, like me, grew up acting like you're Chris Cooley in your backyard, loving the football team, and now Cooley's doing interviews talking about how good this guy is, and all of his teammates loved him. And then you saw him in interviews, had this great personality, and was kind of a fun-loving dude. And then he started playing. And he goes 9 of 10 for 100 yards with a couple touchdowns.
Man.
We've had other players that were preseason sensations, like your Marco Mitchells. We could do a whole segment on it.
Sure.
A quarterback doing what he did.
The QB was doing it.
It was.
And it was happened in a different, in slightly different way before, but we had these preseason legend quarterbacks that actually turned out to be your starter. Gus Frerotte that way. You know, like Trent Green was going to be that way. I mean, a number of guys had not been first or second on the depth chart. They'd played well in whatever you want to call it, garbage time or second half of these games that clearly didn't matter. But it mattered to them, and they worked their way in. And Jason Campbell, I think, took every snap that year, minus a couple gimmick plays to Antoine Randall-Ellis through some passes. But Jason Campbell was your starter for 16 weeks. And there was this pulse and this thought as Campbell, who was, you know, very much a caretaker, not going to screw you, you know, maybe not going to take as many shots, but whatever, was there to not lose the game, hand it off a few times, and long wind up, check it down. There was this idea that they would be better if they would just put this dynamo on the field. They had lightning in a bottle. It was only a matter of time.
Full
with Colt
phone
McCoy.
Lines.
Yes.
Where is Colt Brennan?
Where's Colt?
Where is Colt Brennan? He is going to fix everything. Then the 2009 preseason, not quite to the same extent, but I still remember the last time he played here in Washington was that 09 preseason against the Jags. And I'm looking up the numbers now, but he had a big game that night too. And it kind of brought it back to life the following year. 10 of 14 for 83 yards. But it's one of those things where you come out, you just kind of dink and dunk, you throw to the open guy, you complete a bunch of passes, and after the game, your star rises. But he was around town, just people loved him. And I can't tell you how many times over the years when he would come up, people, even today, were hitting me up, tweeting me.
Everyone had an anecdote.
I met that guy at this restaurant. I walked up to him at this bar. I saw that guy eating breakfast one time, and he signed my hat. Like, he loved, I think. You know, I'm not going to pretend to know that much about Colt Brennan other than the couple of times I interviewed him. But it seemed like he loved to interact with the fans, and he liked the juice of, you know, he made it. Like, he was at Hawaii. It was his second school. He ended up at Hawaii. He put up record numbers. He falls to the sixth round. and he was, people were buying his jersey. Like, you don't buy the sixth round pick's jersey, you right. might not be on the team. He had a super popular jersey.
No, 100%. I think in that 09 preseason, I could be wrong about this, but I think he came in studio on one of the 106.7 The Fan shows. And I just started doing nights, and I think, maybe during the season.
He had a relationship with Chad, I know. And I don't remember who else. I mean, at that time, he was a media sensation.
Right.
I think Cooley was also super involved in our station.
Right. At that
year
point.
We launched.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you that if Cooley went somewhere, Colt Brennan was with him in 2009.
So I remember somehow.
It could be pretty easily that, Chris Cooley did an interview that he was probably scheduled to do.
Or something.
Colt Brennan came as well.
Yeah, so I remember at the old building in Fairfax, I'm sitting there out in the bullpen, cubicles, getting ready for the show, and I go around the corner to go to the bathroom, and there's Colt Brennan standing right there with his, with his thin beard, and, hey, what's up, man? I'm Colt. Sure you are. You know, like, hey. That was great.
I know who you are.
Yeah. Man, oh, man. It's just, it's one of those, I hate to do this, but I sound like, you know, like my dad always used to sound, but I remember the entire career arc. I remember everything about the rise and the fall, and it's just, it sort of, you know, forces you to confront your own mortality, but just so profoundly sad that a guy that young, you know?
And the saddest part today is looking at it, and posthumously, I don't want to, it's not fair to him to get into all the nitty-gritty details here, but it looks like, just from digging, I searched his name, and there's a couple of mugshots of alcohol issues, one in August, one in November, over the last year and a half. And it's obvious that this is a guy who was going through the ringer of life. I mean, it just, he was on top of the world and then he wasn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's just sad. You know, it just makes me feel awful for him and his family because he was on top of
the
world at one point in time. And you just hope that, you know, he was at peace here recently, at least, since some of the issues that he was battling through. But that's tough. It just shouldn't happen at 37.
Agreed.
I hate hearing it. It stinks. But Colt Brennan, I'm sure a lot of you guys have memories. You can tweet us any thoughts you have from that Brennan mania. At Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. Maybe we can read a few of them later in the show today. I know that there is a piece up on thefandc.com right now that Blue Shorts and the crew put together on the news and just some of the amazing stint that he had here. And I don't say amazing in that he accomplished a ton as much as it was just those two preseasons. And there was just, you almost have to have been here to understand what I'm saying.
It's impossible to overstate it.
There was a love and like a lust for that guy as a prospect it was just so tangible and clear. Like, people dug him, and he was like the chosen dude as a sixth round pick.
Well put.
For a couple of years here. Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz at 4 today. Our double play is coming up next. I've got a guessing game prepared for Danny that he doesn't know about. I'm going to make him guess the answers to some questions that I put together.
I like it, dude.
Should be a good time. Next. The double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danny, I've got a little, I won't even call it a quiz.
So I don't know what this is. You are surprising me with this.
This is a, let's just see if Danny Ruye's up with the times.
Uh-oh.
Kind of quiz. Okay.
Right.
The Social Security Administration, I believe.
Yeah.
Released, I think yesterday, the list of the 10 most popular boys and girls names.
Oh, no.
Submitted and used in the year 2020 of our Lord.
Oh, no.
So, I want to know from you, Danny Ruye, how many of these names can you guess? These are boys and girls' names, most popular 10 names for each boy and girl in 2020.
All right.
So, why don't we start with boys.
Michael.
Hang on before you do that.
Damn it. I jumped the gun.
First of all, Michael.
Not
just,
even close?
Just so we're all on the same page. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
It's not a thing?
That's just a little hint.
I thought
for
it was a pretty common name.
It used to be.
Yeah.
Back when we went to high school, we knew a lot of Michaels.
I know some Michaels.
There aren't that many Michaels in preschool right now.
A lot of something
but
else.
Before we do that, Darius, what am I going to hear if Danny gets it right? What is our sounder if he gets something right? Oh, I love that.
Oh, nice. All right.
Ovi just scored from his office. I don't think we're going to hear that very much.
I don't think so either.
What are we going to hear if Danny says something like, Michael? All right. Very good. So without further ado, we're going boys first. Let's go five guesses for each. See if you can nail a couple on the list.
All right. John? Or like a Jonathan? Should I do full name? I'll go John. I'll say John.
I'm going to need the buzzer, please.
No. All right. Robert?
I'm going to need the buzzer again.
James.
I'm also going to need the buzzer.
Oh, no.
You did name your kid James.
I did. So I guess I'm standing out.
But that was not in 2020.
No, I guess I'm standing out by being strange.
You got two more guesses for boys.
All right. Patrick.
No Patrick.
Good Lord.
Think about one-year-old kids. Think about like four-month-old kids.
Yeah. Sort of like ampersands and like underscores and Keegans right. and Kagans and like Kalins. We'll get to those in a second.
Yeah.
Let's go, just for fun, William.
Let's get a... No.
No.
That's a good one.
You rescind that X.
Quick on the
trigger.
Yeah,
we got one. I got one.
He got one.
I got one. I
Harris
got one.
Is just shocked.
Yeah.
You're the guy who lights the goal horn when the goalie makes the save. You can't sound the alarm when he makes the save because the puck didn't go over the end line. Here's the list of boys.
Yeah,
ready?
Go.
Liam, Noah, Oliver, Elijah. I kind of like that. Eli, Elijah.
All right.
William. Did you say James and I said no?
I said James.
Okay, James is on the
oh,
list.
Oh, it's on there. Okay.
I guess I botched that. Benjamin, Lucas. Henry and Alexander.
There are so many Lucases or Luci, if you will. There's a lot of Lucas.
I don't know if it's Luci. I think it'd be Lucases.
Lucases. There's a lot of Lucases.
All right. Top five. I have 10 here, but I'm going to give you five guesses.
All right.
At the most popular names chosen for girls in 2020.
I think 47% of moms are naming their daughters Emma right now. Emma.
Emma is correct.
Yep. After that, I'm not so sure. Let's go. I think nobody's going to be named Karen at this point. I think we may have a whole year where there are no Karens. So I'm not going to say Karen.
You're not guessing.
No,
that.
I'm not guessing Karen.
Okay.
I'm trying to brainstorm. I'm thinking of one.
Are you going to name all the names that you're not
going
to guess?
No. I'm going through names of people that I know. Let's go with Allison. That's a pretty common name.
Allison is the name of my wife. Allison is not on the list.
Oh, here we go. It's a normal girl's name. Jennifer. That's a pretty common name for girls to have.
You're just naming 42-year-old women.
No, I'm naming.
Point.
That's a normal name that everyone has.
That's my point. For adults, it is. For one-year-old, people don't name people names that every 40-year-old has now. The answer is no to Jennifer.
All right. How about Isabella? That's JP's daughter's name.
Isabella's on the list.
Hey! I'm thinking like, okay, all right. Now I'm feeling the flow a little bit. Feeling the flow. Olivia. I know an Olivia.
Olivia's on the list.
I'm on fire. Was that five guesses or like four?
It might be five.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Here's your top 10.
Yep.
Olivia, Emma, Ava, which makes sense. I feel like I hear that name a lot.
Yeah.
Charlotte. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently a lot of Charlottes.
Huh.
Sophia, very pretty name. Amelia. I don't know many Amelias.
I know one Amelia, my buddy's wife.
I don't know an Amelia. Isabella, which you guessed.
Yep.
Mia, like Mia Hamm.
Mia.
Mia, also a name from the Fast and the Furious series. My girl Jordana Brewster is Mia. Evelyn. Evelyn's interesting. Evelyn, to me, when I think Evelyn, I picture a grandma.
I think grandma.
So, and I'm fine. I like that. I like bringing like grandma names back for you. I think young, like 2-year-old girls with grandma names is awesome. I think that's a funny thing. And then Harper.
Yeah.
A lot of Philly people.
Yeah.
Maybe.
A lot of Harper.
Harper. I do hear Harper a lot. I kind of liked that name. And then right around 3 years ago, I stopped liking that name. Oh, I don't know why.
So we had this. Yeah, there's something that happened in the timeline. But we were convinced that we were having a girl for our second. I was convinced. And I was like, let's go through all the girl names. We had grandmothers in our lives at that point. Ruth, total grandma
Ruth,
name.
Totally.
And Audrey. Total grandma name.
Both.
And I was like, what about that as the name of the, and my wife was like, no, that's a grandma's name. And I'm like, yeah, but.
Margaret.
But isn't that awesome? Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Ethel.
Yes.
Betsy.
Audrey's really good.
Yeah. Etheline.
That's really a shame.
I think that's very good. Ethel is one. Betsy.
Rose.
Rose. Okay, yeah, but
tell me, Rose into grandma.
I love like the idea of like little Rosie. You know, like we thought about that for Reagan, for Madam President, but it could have been Rosie. Do you want the fastest growing names really quickly?
Yeah, give me the trends.
So each year, the list reveals the effect of pop culture on naming trends. Here are the top five fastest rising boys and girls names in 2020. I can't pronounce some of them, to be honest with you. Zaire, it looks like. Z-Y-A-I-R for boys is the fastest growing name.
Okay.
Jaxton.
Jaxton.
Jaxton. J-A-X-T-Y-N. That's a thing that's happening a lot.
Oh, my God.
Jacoby, not how you would think like Jacoby Jones, but Jacoby, J-A-K-O-B-E, like Kobe Bryant.
What?
Jacoby. Kylo. Isn't that a guy from Star Wars?
Kylo. Wait, yeah. Kylo Ren is from Star Wars.
How do you spell Kylo?
K-Y-L-O.
That's one of the fastest, most popular names right now growing in the country.
Okay.
Aziel, A-Z-I-E-L, Aziel is also, and then for girls, Avea, A-V-A-Y-A-H, Avea Ruye. Could be time. Could be time to start thinking about expanding the family.
I don't know about that.
Capri Ruye, C-A-P-R-I.
Okay.
And Rosalia.
So I think about this all the time. There is like a whole generation.
Expanding
very
the
soon.
Family?
Well, no, not about that at all. I think we're the faucet is turned off there. But I'm thinking about in future. Like, you know, like once like men and women reach a certain age, they're like eligible. We're going to have elected officials in like 15 years where there's going to be like a Keegan and a Kalen with like weird spellings that are going to be like governors and presidents. Whatever, with K-A-Y-L-I-N or L-E-E-N, like a Kaleen.
Yeah.
Just like those, like when everyone was making up a name that was some derivation, they're like, we can't do Kathleen. We can't just do Catherine. We got to do Kaleen or Kaylin or Kaleanne. One of those things. They're going to be like leaders of the free world.
It's going to happen.
I think about that.
Beltway Blitz coming your way. Top of the hour at 4. Glenn Consor on the Wizards. Jessica Camerato on the Nationals. Sam Fortier on the Washington football team. And in the 4 o'clock hour today on Grant and Danny, Bradley Beal is not happy with Kent Bazemore. We have the details and the receipts on some drama going down in the NBA.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.